Toru,
Kumiko said to me in a tiny voice.
Are you awake?
Uh-huh.
About the tie. I've just remembered. I took it to the cleaners in December. It needed pressing. I suppose I forgot.
December? Kumiko, that's over 6 months ago.
I know. And you know, I never do anything like that, forgetting things. It was such a lovely tie, too.
She put her hand on my shoulder.
I took it to the cleaners by the station. Do you think they still have it?
I'll go tomorrow. It's probably there.
What makes you think so? 6 months is a long time. Most cleaners will get rid of things that aren't claimed in 3 months. They can do that. It's the law. What makes you think it's still there?
Maltacano said I'd find it somewhere outside the house. I could feel her looking at me in the dark.
You mean you believe what she says?
I'm starting to.
Pretty soon you and my brother might even start seeing eye to eye,
she said, a note of pleasure in her voice.
We just might, I said.
I kept thinking about the Nomonhan battlefield after Kumiko fell asleep. The soldiers were all asleep there. The sky overhead was filled with stars, and millions of crickets were chirping. I could hear the river. I fell asleep, listening to it flow. 5. Hooked on lemon drops, flightless bird, and waterless well. After doing the breakfast dishes, I rode my bike to the cleaners by the station. The owner, a thin man in his late 40s, with deep wrinkles in his forehead, was listening to a tape of the Percy Faith Orchestra on a music machine that had been placed on a shelf. It was a large JVC with some kind of extra woofers attached and a mound of cassette tape standing by. The orchestra was performing Tara's theme, making the most of its lush string arrangement. The owner himself was in the back of the shop, whistling along with the music as he ran a steam iron over his shirt, his movements sharp and energetic. I approached the counter and announced with suitable apologies that I had brought a tie-in late last year and forgotten to pick it up. To his peaceful little world at 9:30 in the morning, this must have been tantamount to the arrival of a messenger bearing terrible news in a Greek tragedy.
No ticket either, I suppose,
he said in a strange, distant voice. He was talking not to me, but to the calendar on the wall by the counter. The photo for June showed the Alps, a green valley, cows grazing, a hard-edged white cloud floating against Mont Blanc, or the Matterhorn, or wherever. Then he looked at me with an expression on his face that all but said, "If you were going to forget the damned thing, you should have forgotten it." It was a direct and eloquent look.
End of the year, huh? That's a toughie. We're talking more than 6 months ago. All right, I'll have a look, but don't expect me to find it.
He switched off his iron, put it on the ironing board, and whistling along with the theme from A Summer Place, started to rummage through the shelves in the back room. Back in senior school, I had taken my girlfriend to see A Summer Place. It starred Troy Donahue and Sandra Dee. We saw it in a rep cinema in a double bill with Connie Francis's Follow the Boys. It had been pretty bad, so far as I could remember, but hearing the music now in a cleaner's, 13 years later, I could recall only good memories from that time.
A blue polka dot tie?
Asked the owner.
Name Okada?
That's it, I said.
You're in luck.
As soon as I got home, I phoned Kumiko at work.
They had the tie, I said. Incredible, she said. Good for you.
It sounded artificial, like praise for a son bringing home good marks. This made me feel uneasy. I should have waited until her lunch break to phone.
I'm so relieved, she said. But I've got someone on hold right now. Sorry, could you call me back at noon?
That I will, I said. After hanging up, I went out to the veranda with the morning paper. As always, I lay on my stomach with the job ads spread out before me, taking all the time I needed to read them from one end to the other. the columns filled with incomprehensible codes and clues.